Welcome back to the program. Just got done with our Facebook Live chat. Thanks to everybody who tuned into that, making my weekly NFL picks and predictions. We've got Deuce Windham of The Athletic coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll have Sports Libs at 9:20, then my college football picks, some of the big games. Scott Smith of RotoViz coming in to talk a little fantasy football a little bit later on. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com right now. What's more surprising, Saints being the best team in the league or Eagles falling apart? I think it's the Eagles falling apart. I don't think it's close, but our audience disagreeing. 80% of you saying it's more surprising the Saints are the best team in the league. I don't know if that's more surprising. I would have seen that coming. I wouldn't have seen the dysfunctional Eagles coming, and I certainly have it. Just talked about the Rams, and Rams, to me, they have not looked like one of the league's best teams over the last month. And you wouldn't think that with their record, and you think I'm just taking a shot at them, but if you look at all these close games they played, they escaped Minnesota. They escaped Green Bay. They escaped Seattle twice. They obviously lost to lost to New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. Now they get the Chiefs coming in, and they also lost Cooper Kupp, their star receiver, to injury. Text from the 985 saying the Rams have no depth. We saw that when we played them in the preseason. If they sustain any more injuries, they will struggle. Saints have the most depth of any team in the league. At certain positions, they absolutely do. I would dispute that they have the most depth. I was doing a radio spot up in Pennsylvania today, talking about the Saints, previewing it with Tom Fallon on ESPN in Lehigh Valley. And we got into the depth talk here about the Saints. And the one area where I think that they're really struggling, and I know that they wish they had a little more explosiveness at the position, and that's the return spots, both the kick return spot and the punt return spot. Taysom Hill, he's doing a yeoman's job here. He's playing every position on the field, it seems like, and they're throwing Alvin Kamara back there for punts sometimes, but they're not really getting any production there. Now, the kicking game's been great. Will Lutz, 19-20, on pace to set all sorts of kicking records here for the Saints. Points scored, field goals made, field goal percentage. Probably going to be a Pro Bowler this year if he keeps this up. We know Thomas Morstead, and even in his limited action here, he's been great. But special teams, the return spots particularly with the special teams, I want to narrow in on that. It's not all the special teams, but the return spots are certainly an area where I think the Saints could benefit from more production. But look, they're not adding anybody to this team. I mean, maybe they get Tommy Lee Lewis back later, Ted Ginn. Maybe they come back off injured reserve. They start returning kicks. Maybe it gets a little better. I don't know. Doesn't concern me necessarily. I mean, this is the salary-capped NFL. It's really hard to be exceptional in every facet of the game. There isn't Alabama or college football. I mean, this is the salary capped NFL. Just a reminder, remember, our coverage on Sunday, Saints-Eagles, it starts at 11 a.m. You can join former Saints offensive lineman Steve Court and myself for the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Again, 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, we go to the Saints Radio Network and the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick live from the Dome between Gates A and B. That's right by the Saints official team pro shop. And then kickoff 3:25, Zach Streif, Deuce McAllister, Steve Geller on the sidelines after the game, point after, live from Felix's Restaurant and Oyster Bar at 7400 Lakeshore Drive in Lakeview. That's until 9 o'clock. So that is wall-to-wall Saints football, 11 a.m., 9 p.m., right here on WWL. Watching a few football games here tonight. Tulane just getting routed by Houston. It's 38-9. Houston going to win that American Division. Tulane, who thought they had a shot here, it's been ugly. It's been really ugly. And Tim, you had some kind of teaser with the wave at +21, and you think this is a lock. The Tulane +21 with your teaser, and, well, I don't know about that anymore.
Houston's been pretty terrible. They've lost their last two games. They lost at SMU. So I figure, you know, Tulane's offense has been pretty good lately. Let me take Tulane. They'll keep the score up. They've only scored 9 so far, and they missed an extra point.
Yeah, it's been bad. Nichols, on the other hand, they're looking good. 44-0 over Southeastern, so Nichols will stay on top of the Southland, it looks like, with a win tonight. Let's get a phone call in here. West Bank Rick, what's going on? West Bank Rick, you're on. What's going on? West Bank Rick is not there. We're going to put you back on hold, Rick. Packers leading the Seahawks. They're going to get the football back here in the second half. Seahawks really struggling at home, haven't really been the same home team, at least the last couple of years, not that dominant unit. I did take the Seahawks against the spread here. They were plus, what, three short week Packers at home. But Packers, frankly, have looked like the much better football team. Seattle just dysfunctional offensively. Remember, Saints fans, you can turn down the sound on your TV. Turn up Saints Radio 2. We're just talking about our coverage. So if you want to listen to our coverage here, even if you want to watch the game, you can do that. Syncing up really easily to do. You just turn down the sound on your TV. Turn up WWL on 105.3 FM, and then you can just get your remote and pause it and sync up to our broadcast. It's real simple, and we can keep doing that here on WWL. Let's go back to West Bank Rick. West Bank Rick, you're on WWL. What's going on?
You can hear me down that?
I can, Rick. What's up?
Okay, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to chime in on that part about the Saints, about they were saying about the depth.
Yep.
I don't think it's just the depth. I just think that we have more head coaches on our team than every other team has.
So that's true,
because
right?
My thing is, with each head coach, they have a different plan or a different person or what type of person they have or want to coach. And my thing is that they're showing off their talent as a head coach on the Saints team. So, yeah, the depth might be good, but I think it's the teaching of the players that make the depth of the team good.
Oh, no, I mean, look, this is still, you're talking about, even in the NFL, relatively young men here who can still be coached, shaped, and molded a little bit. And the guys you're referencing, Dennis Allen and Mike Nolan and all these coaches on the Saints staff, they've done a great job. Great job. There's no doubt about that. Joined now by Deuce Windham of The Athletic, covers the Saints for them. Deuce, what's going on, man? How are you? Welcome into the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, just in, I guess, enjoying this weird, cold November weather. It's kind of catching me off guard, but yeah, enjoying it.
Yeah, it is weird. I'm loving it, though. I get to kind of layer. I get to, you know, bust out the clothes I only get for a couple of months. So I'm the weird one who kind of likes it here, Deuce. I don't know. I'm not complaining. It feels like football weather, doesn't it? Like a little more football when it gets a little colder.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of Ohio came down here. But I don't know if I love it, but, you know, it definitely is good football with.
All right, what kind of cliches you want to throw at me about this Saints offense? I mean, I feel like we've used every single adjective and analogy, and I think it's deserved. I mean, it's just the Saints offense is a machine like maybe we've never seen in the NFL before. What do you want to throw at me here?
You know, I'm not a big fan of cliches. I can say this. They're currently on pace, and we talk all the time about the great Saints offenses, 2009, 2011. The Saints right now are on pace to be the third highest scoring offense in NFL history, more so than 2011, more so 2009. And they're doing it in terms of efficiency, scoring on their drives higher than they ever have. So, you know, there's really not a cliche you can say besides the fact that right now they're the best offense we've ever seen in New Orleans, and that's saying a lot considering what we've seen for 15 years now.
Yeah, it's that 61% stat, and we've been repeating it all week here on WWL, and it deserves to be repeated. I mean, you don't see this in high school football. Edna Carr doesn't score on 61% of their possessions, mm-hmm. Deuce, and we're talking about an NFL football team that does that.
Yeah, I said, you know, it's hard to find flaws right now, and yet, that said, Sean Payton is still continually trying to improve this offense, bringing in other players in areas that he feels they're weak in, and just trying to get better and better, building for what hopefully will be a deep playoff run. But you know, the offense is clicking on all cylinders. There's your cliche for the night. And you know, until a team shows they can stop them, and they've gone against multiple top defenses in the league and have yet to get slowed down, until somebody does it, it's hard to even pick against them in any game this year.
Yeah, and Drew Brees, who's, again, the conductor, the maestro of this offense. I'm wondering the chicken and egg factor here. Is his sensational year, and he should be the MVP front runner right now, for anybody who has those ballots, is his production this year, is the year he's having, is it a product of, hey, he's just playing better? Or is it a product of, well, he's never had a weapon like Mike Thomas, maybe a running back like Alvin Kamara? What's the chicken and egg here? What comes first? What's more of a factor?
It's definitely a combination of both. I'll tell you, here's the biggest difference. You know, Drew, in terms of efficiency, how he's having success, his pre-snap reads, his post-snap reads, understanding defenses, that really he didn't magically become even better at that at 39 compared to, say, 35 or 30. He's been good at that always. But what he has now, arguably the best offensive line he's ever had, definitely the best, you know, tackle tandem when healthy between Armstead and Ramczyk he's had in at least a long time. I'd go as far as to say he's ever had. The combo of Ingram and Kamara is by far the best running back duo he's ever had, and he's got the best receivers ever had in Thomas. So really what it comes down to is he's having to take less risk and less chances. He doesn't have to force a throw if he doesn't need to, you know, whereas before he tried to make a play happen, you know, and when you've got a guy like Thomas and Kamara and Ingram in this line, he's not having to make those decisions that make you go, okay, Drew, I love you, but you shouldn't have made that throw. You know, go through the entire season. There is one throw I can point to that just made me say, Drew, please don't throw that again. And that was when he tried to hit Ted Ginn deep and grossly underthrew him in the Cleveland game. That's, I mean, if I have to go that far back to pick one play, that just kind of speaks to the efficiency he has. And a lot of that is the talent that he's now surrounded with. I do think he's gotten better and better as he's gotten more into the game in terms of the knowledge aspect. But a lot of it is the cast he has around him right now.
Good stuff from Deuce Windham here. Covers the Saints for The Athletic. He's on Twitter at Rev Deuce Windham. What's the Rev for, Deuce?
Well, back in the day, you know, when I went to college, I actually went to seminary. So ministry was my go-to, and that is where the handle came from, and it's just never changed. So it's stuck. So now, even though I'm in sports writing now, start off in ministry.
I like it. The reverend here joining us on the last lap, Deuce Windham. So, you know, the offensive line, Teron Armstead going to be out 3, maybe 4 weeks here. I think Jermon Bushrod, is there any concern with him coming in and now going to have to start 3, 4 weeks in a row?
Concern, I think it'd be a stretch for me to say concern. I think we'd be lying if we said that Bushrod at this point in his career is at the same level that Teron Armstead is. But, you know, Bushrod had a good day in Cincy, and the Saints have shown, you know, Sean Payton has done this no matter who's at tackle, that he's going to, you know, scheme around any type of potential deficiency, whether that means chipping with the tight end or the running back or just leaving the running back in to be that extra blocker. I think Bushrod could handle himself. Is he a Teron Armstead? No, he's not. You know, at this point in his career, he's definitely a veteran guy who can spot start for you. But I feel like the Saints are in a situation when it comes to injuries where they don't feel like they have to force a player to, you know, force probably a bad terminology there, but they don't need a player to play through an injury. They can let them get 100%. You know, there are years past where I fully believe that Teron Armstead would maybe miss this game and then play through the injury, or Marcus Davenport would already have returned to the field. But they feel the depth that they have on this team, they don't have to do that. Let the guys get healthy, come back at the end of the year, and then make a, you know, push for the playoffs with 100% healthy guy instead of a guy who's worn down, maybe down to 80 because he's nicked up and he's dealing with a toe injury or a shoulder. They want their guys to be healthy, and they trust the guys behind them to fill in for the time being.
A lot of talk about the Saints offense, and we've spent this whole time talking about the offense, but it's interesting to me that the Saints defense, again, to use that phrase, complementary football, they're playing it. I know we think about the blemishes, the ugly ones that stand out, Deuce, the 35 points they gave up to the Rams. Everybody remembers what happens early on in the season against Tampa Bay. But if you look at the rest of the schedule, I think this started that week against the Giants, 18 points against New York, 19 to Washington, 23 to the Ravens, 20 they allowed to the Vikings, just 14 to the Bengals. They're sneaky molding into, I don't think they're one of the league's best defenses. I'm not going that far, but they're a defense here that is playing like at least in the top 10 or so of the NFL.
They're definitely trending in that direction. You know, they had a lot of hiccups that kind of gave Dennis Allen pause when we started the season. He had to change some of his coverages up, going away from a lot of what he did last year. And you also saw that aggressiveness really dial back to where he's only blitzing around 20-25% of the time in games, where last year you saw that number more in the 30-35. So 10-point drop is really indicative of how they felt the coverage was right now. They couldn't rely on guys, especially in the deep ability. They had to go playing more things like Tampa 2 and cover 2 coverages to, you know, try to prevent that big play that kept happening against like Tampa Bay and Atlanta. And, you know, when they made the trade for Eli, they felt like they could go back to playing that style. And you saw that, you know, the Cincy game. They blitzed well over 40% of the time, and yet they weren't giving up that monster play. In fact, you got a, you know, Marcus Williams interception on an attempted deep pass where that might have been a play that they gave up before, and now they were able to defend it quite well. And then another pass very similar to that one was broken up and almost intercepted by Eli Apple in the end zone. So when they were able to make those changes, they're now more comfortable running their set, and you're continuing to see this team grow and the communication improved. The linebackers have been a pleasant surprise. We knew they were going to be solid, but you know, DeMario Davis having arguably a Pro Bowl season, A.J. Klein doing really well. The entire front seven has a case to be a top 10 unit in the NFL right now. So, yeah, I think they're definitely trending there. People are going to look at the stat sheet and just assume the Saints are really porous in some areas, but you know, if you take the time to put on the tape, they're definitely not underperforming at this point. They're really starting to play to that level we thought they would before the season started.
What are we hearing about Marcus Davenport this week?
I still think that you're a couple of weeks out. You know, he was today. He doesn't have the boot on 100%, but he's still not practicing. But that's still a good sign. It shows us that he's on pace. You know, he's not having to rely on that boot to get around. He is healing. But once again, it kind of goes back to the we're not going to rush things mentality. Let him get healthy. And truthfully, the reason they're so confident is Alex Okafor is having a very good season. He is back to that pre-Achilles injury level. You know, this past game, getting in there for a sack, had five pressures to lead the team. So he's playing well and also doing well against the run. And then Trey Hendrickson, they've known as a guy that situationally could rush the passer and have effect. And it's not he's not been riding the bench because they didn't believe in him. He's been riding the bench because of that one word we've spoken so much this year, depth. So with Davenport, it's not that, you know, he's not progressing or they're not ready. They just, like I said, they want him to be 100% and him to come back and really be that impact player he was for the past few weeks.
That's the Reverend Deuce Windham. Deuce, appreciate it, man. Glad to have you on for the first time, and I know we'll do it again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. He's on Twitter at Rev Deuce Windham. And, of course, you can find his work with that great staff over there at The Athletic, theathletic.com. We're going to take a break back with your calls plus a little sports libs coming up here. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap on WWE. Packers punting again here. Packers with a 21-17 lead against the Seahawks. Very pivotal Thursday night game. And if you're an NFL fan, you should know this Packers-Seahawks rivalry. One heck of an out-of-division rivalry. They've played five times in the last 4 years. Three playoff matchups in the last dozen years. Yeah, it's a good one. Look forward to this one every single year. Let's squeeze in Tony in Australia on the phone line. Tony, down under. What's going on?
How are you, Seth?
I'm good. Good day, man.
I'm watching the game. But you know what the Superdome is going to be known for this season?
What's that?
The place where birds come to die.
It's the Eagles and the Falcons you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I like it. We'll just rename it. We only got like 30 seconds left. What's going on in Australia, man?
Not much. Friday here, so... looking forward to the weekend. Looking forward to, I get to see the game too on Sunday, so that's pretty good.
Yeah,
wrapped about that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and I know you'll we'll be hearing from you, I assume, on Fans First Take, right, on Sunday.
Yeah. I just found out what time yous are on, so I'll give you and Steve a call and say g'day.
Please do, Tony in Australia. Thanks for listening, man. Always appreciate you checking in. Kind of fitting that it took until the Packers and Seahawks played on Thursday night to get a good Thursday night game, which is what we got here. I mean, these two teams always play great games. Packers up 21-17, Seahawks driving, though. We'll keep you updated here late third quarter. Here's a text at 870-870. Proud of my Colonels. On to the playoffs. Go Colonels. That's referencing Nicholls State's 44-0 shutout tonight of Southeastern. Yeah, indeed. Big win. Obviously, for Nicholls, not going as well for Tulane. It is 41-9 here. Houston all over the waves. Away, we're going to have to beat Navy to get bowl eligible in their final regular season game. Not the result there that Willie Fritz and company expected or wanted. All right, it's time for our weekly fantasy football segment with Scott Smith. If you've got a question here, sit 'em, start 'em, waiver wire, whatever it is. I know we got a lot of fantasy football players out there in our audience. Hop on in at 504-260-1870. Again, that's area code 504-260-1870 for your fantasy football questions. You can also text him to 870-870. And the man himself, Scott Smith, on into the program. Scott, what's going on? How are you?
Doing good, man.
Hey, it's that time of year. My fantasy football seasons are falling apart. So that's when I know the fantasy football playoffs are just about here. How's all these leagues you played in going, man? Are you having a good year, bad year, par?
I'm having a good year pretty much across the board, except for one league where I dealt with a lot of injuries, and specifically the last 2 weeks, all of my top four picks have been out. So other than that, I'm doing good. Number two in the radio league right now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I see that. I'm playing Brian, trying to play spoiler, because I'm not going to be anywhere near the playoffs in that league again, unfortunately. Tim, how you doing in the playoff league? You're in the bottom with me, aren't you, in this league?
I mean, I have, like, Baker Mayfield as my quarterback, so
no excuses.
Not talk about it.
No excuses here. All right, let's do a little look across the league here as this Thursday night game winds down. If you look at Sunday, let's start at the quarterback position here. Is there who you starting, who you sitting here this week, Scott?
You know, one of the guys I really like as a sleeper this week is Marcus Mariota. You know, the last four games he's really been playing well, along with Corey Davis. You know, Mariota was hurt earlier in the year, and he's got four straight weeks with at least 20 yards rushing, so he's giving you that rushing bonus as well. They're getting a Colts defense that's allowed five of the last six quarterbacks to go over 21 points, so he's a guy that I really like. And a guy that I might stay away from this week is Mitchell Trubisky. He's going up against Minnesota. He's put up top 10 quarterback numbers for most of the season, but it's been against mostly a cupcake schedule, and he gets a Minnesota defense that in the last four games has not allowed a quarterback to finish higher than QB20.
So tell me what you're doing with this Baltimore, because they're the Baltimore quarterbacks, because they're playing this atrociously bad, maybe one of the worst defenses we've ever seen in Cincinnati. Is there any value, let's say RG3 gets the start, picking him up, giving him a start, or Lamar Jackson there, any value in that?
Yeah, neither one of those guys would I feel comfortable with, even in a spot start situation. You know, some of the rumblings that's coming out of Baltimore right now is that they're going to have different packages for both RG3 and Lamar Jackson to try to get both involved. So I don't think either one's in a spot where you can consistently or feel comfortable like having them put up any type of numbers. You'd have to wait and see before you can even bet on that.
All right, let's go to the running backs. What about Tariq Cohen against the Vikings here? That's a tough defense. It is a primetime game at home. You starting Tariq? Is he squarely in the start?
I mean, he's more in a flex position. I wouldn't necessarily feel totally comfortable with him as a RB1 or RB2, but he is in flex consideration. That offense in particular from the running back position has been a little inconsistent, you know, week to week, whether it's going to be Jordan Howard or whether it's going to be Tariq Cohen. It's kind of just dependent. But in this situation, I like Cohen better than Howard for the matchup against the Vikings. The Vikings can put up some points, even though the Bears have been one of the better defenses. So if they do end up playing from behind, I like Tariq Cohen to get some receptions.
Scott, I didn't take your advice last week. I know that's probably my fault because I didn't start Kenny Galladay. Sorry about that. It's my fault. But this week, there's a guy on my team, Derrick Henry, right now, who's been actually playing pretty well the last 2 weeks. He scored touchdowns here. What do you expect from Derrick Henry, or just in general? Because, you know, there's their quarterbacks. You know, Tennessee, they've been playing pretty good in the last 2 weeks. They beat the Cowboys, and I think they won last week against the Patriots. What do you expect from the Titans offense and specifically Derrick Henry?
You know, when you start looking at the Titans offense, I think what you have to buy in fantasy football is opportunity. And even though Derrick Henry has played solid over the last 2 weeks, it's still Derrick. I mean, it's still Deion Lewis that's actually leading that backfield. He's seen at least 19 touches over the last 3 weeks. You know, he failed to put up over 10 points last week against the Patriots, even though he did have the touches. But the two games before that, he put up over 21 points in both of those games. So I'd still feel a little hesitant to go ahead and throw Derrick Henry into the lineup over Deion Lewis. I just like Deion Lewis more, and I think that offense and that team can do solid against the Indianapolis defense. That's not really scary.
All right, Scott Smith, the RotoViz here, joining us, fantasy expert at SSmithFF. You can text your questions to 87870 or give us a call at 504-260-1870. We'll get to some questions here in a second, but any waiver wire targets right now, Scott?
You know, when you start looking at the waiver wire, I'm not a big fan of handcuffing your running backs and your big players early on in the season. I think this is the point in time when you do it, and especially when you look at Todd Gurley and the Rams. You know, the Rams went ahead and lost to the Saints, and if the Saints win a few games, and even this week if the Rams lose, the Saints can really tie up that top, you know, that home slot for the playoffs, and that would leave the Rams looking at number two, and they might look at maybe – you know, resting Todd Gurley and some of these other guys, you know, later on in the season during your playoff run. So if you've been riding Todd Gurley this whole time and that happens, now's the time to go ahead and get his backup, Malcolm Brown, and go ahead and handcuff him just to play it safe, especially if you have a good spot available at the end of the roster. As far as like a waiver wire fill-in this week, Chris Godwin's, he's kind of been injured. He's missed a lot of time this week and as far as practice. And I think if he is to sit out, I think Adam Humphries could be a nice spot start in PPR leagues, you know, as far as the wide receiver goes against the Giants defense that hasn't played very well.
Scott, if you have a quarterback, like I said, I like this Tennessee Titans game a lot. If you have a quarterback like Andrew Luck who's facing a good defense and you have other options out there, like maybe if Matt Stafford or let's say Deshaun Watson was on your bench, not on my bench, but just in general, like would you bench Andrew Luck who's having one of the best seasons so far in fantasy as a quarterback against a tough defense, or would you look elsewhere as you know, maybe a Eli Manning or maybe like a Matt Stafford?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually high on Luck this week, even against the matchup against the Titans. You know, he's had 27 points, you know, in six games in a row from a quarterback standpoint. You know, when you start looking at that, you have to roll with players that are hot right now, especially leading into the playoffs. So I'd feel comfortable going ahead and starting Andrew Luck, and I wouldn't worry about the matchup. And you start to look at Brown for the Tennessee Titans, their defensive back. He's been getting burned a lot. And I think you can go ahead and see T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck hook up on a deep pass this week. So I feel more than comfortable starting Andrew Luck, and I think you roll him into the playoffs.
Tim, you got another one, you said?
Yeah, I was taking a call right there. Actually, so let's say you have
man
like,
of many talents back there behind the glass, Tim.
Let's say you've been playing the same defense like all season. Let's say you have the Bears defense or the Houston and Pittsburgh defense, one of those things. Is now a good time to stream? Let's say like you know you're streaming against the Bills. Bills obviously aren't playing this week, but let's say the Oakland's out there and the Arizona defense is available. Is one of the do you stick with a defense you've had all season, or do you go with maybe the Arizona defense, or you go with a team that's playing the Bills for next week, for example?
Yeah, I think now's the point in time if you're looking towards the playoffs or trying to get into the playoffs. You start really looking at the defensive schedules for the next few weeks. And if you can target a team like the Bills or even the Jets right now, definitely go ahead and do that. And my general rule that I like to look at is I like home favorites that are playing against, you know, either bottom-of-the-line quarterbacks and things like that. So I think definitely those matchups you're going to have to go ahead and play. And right now there's really not a defense that's been, like, consistent like you've seen in the past year. With like the Jacksonville Jaguars or any, there's not just that dominant defense maybe outside of the Bears, and they're even suspect in some of the matchups that they have coming up, especially with Khalil Mack who's been injured in the last few weeks. So I'd definitely go ahead and stream and play the matchups on a week-to-week basis, and if you have that waiver wire sitting there where you can get a good matchup against the Bills or the Jets or even an Oakland, a team like that that's on the road, I'd go ahead and do it.
All right, here's some questions from our audience on the text line. Scott, a couple of questions about Marlon Mack, the Indianapolis running back. First one, carry on or Mack in a PPR league?
Carry on Johnson. I think carry on Johnson's been more healthy. Marlon Mack put up like 38 yards last week. So even though he's still the number one there for Indianapolis, I'd go with carry on Johnson.
All right, what about Mack or Philip Lindsay?
Philip Lindsay is my start of the week at the running back position for this week. He scored 10 or more fantasy points in PPR leagues in all but one game this season, and that was the game that he was ejected from. So he's going to be a player that I'm really high on. And outside of maybe James Conner, Philip Lindsay's been like the waiver wire darling of the year.
Are you worried about Royce Freeman returning affecting those numbers?
No, because even when Royce Freeman was there playing and healthy, it was still Lindsay who was getting the starts and you know going ahead and putting the ball in the end zone.
All right, it's Marlon Mack week here in fantasy. A text from the 985. Corey Davis, Marlon Mack, or John Brown? How to play one flex spot in PPR?
Corey Davis. Corey Davis has seen 10 targets in the last 2 weeks, and he's on fire as far as his route running. He scorched Stephon Gilmore last week, who's been the number one cornerback through weeks 1 through 9 based upon Football Focus's ratings.
Stephon Diggs or Sammy Watkins coming in from the 504?
You know, Sammy Watkins is another guy I like. Stephon Diggs has been dealing with a rib injury, and you start looking at that Kansas City versus L.A. Rams game, and it's the highest point total they've had in like 7 years. It's got an over-under of 63.5, and when you start looking at the Rams and their struggles defending the pass and how they're going to have to go ahead and key in on both Kelsey and Tyreek Hill, I think Sammy Watkins is a bang-up play this week to go ahead and be that third option that actually gets loose.
I know Timmy was asking about Andrew Luck before. Here's a text from the 504. Andrew Luck or Cam Newton?
You know, that's a close one, and when it comes down to two toss-ups like that, I generally like to go with who's had the hotter hand, and that's going to be Andrew Luck, as we talked about earlier, the last six games having 27 or more points. You know, he's just in a good spot to go ahead and continue it, even against a tough Tennessee defense.
Finally, on Twitter, Scarlett Johansson or Jennifer Lawrence?
Ooh, Jennifer Lawrence. She's got a little a little attitude with her.
I like it. I like it. I like Jennifer. Does anybody really not like Jennifer Lawrence? Isn't she like the most loved actress out there right now? She's cool. That's a cool chick, man. Scott Smith, thanks for all the analysis, man. Have fun with your football this weekend.
All right. Yeah, have a good one.
All right. At S. Smith FF. Tim, you're shaking your head there. You go ScarJo there or J-Lo?
I mean, J-Law. Did you see Scarlett Johansson in her last movie?
No. Scarlett Johansson's incredible. She's a great actress. She's obviously very beautiful, very talented. But
depends if you like blondes or brunettes.
Okay, can't we relate a little bit more? And I know they're kind of the elite Hollywood types, even though we're kind of splitting hairs here. But you can relate a little more to Jennifer Lawrence. Didn't she seem like the chick next door just a little bit? Or is it just me?
The movie she was in was pretty good. Was it Playbook? Something Playbook?
Silver Linings Playbook.
That was a really
all
good
movie. All the Jennifer Lawrence's movies are really good, I think. I can't think of a bad one. All right, Seahawks kick a field goal. It's Packers 21, Hawks 20. We'll keep an eye on that one as Thursday Night Football winds down. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is the last lap on WWL. 41-17, a touchdown here, and Tim gets a cover. Tim, how's it going?
I took a big teaser. Got 21 and a half by Tulane. Right now we're down by 24, so I can maybe get a field goal.
That seemed like such a safe bet, too. We had people picking Tulane outright here at Houston. I didn't. I thought Houston would win this one by a touchdown. I didn't see a blowout coming, certainly, here. Not the performance Tulane won at 41-17. It was the performance Nicholls State won it earlier tonight. They defeat Southeastern 44-0. I'm watching Alan Waddell, who does radio there for Southeastern. He's not happy on Twitter. I think Southeastern fans aren't happy. But Nicholls, we heard the texter earlier, or saw the texter earlier on our program, saying, on to the playoff. Go Colonels, indeed. Good football in here. South Louisiana, Southeast Louisiana this year. We had a field goal from Mason Crosby. Long 50-yard pass to Devontae Adams is having himself a game. He's about 50 yards shy of 1,000 for the season. And another Green Bay-Seattle game that's going to come down to the final possession or so here in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Nicholls, Co-Southland champs here with their victory tonight. Looks like fans rushed the field out there, even a 44-0 win. And I'm watching Jeff Palermo's tweets, and he just tweeted out the big picture. It looks like everybody kind of rushing the field out there. Paul Smith was hanging out earlier today. I know he enjoyed that one. We're going to take a quick break for news. We have a really, really fun third hour of the program. Don't go anywhere. Here's the lineup. We got Sports Libs. We've got 2-Minute Drill. And then we've got the coach, Lou Valden, and Alan Waddell coming in to break down the high school football playoffs here that resume tomorrow. That's all coming your way. It's going to be a really, really fun final hour of the program. Also, our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. What's more surprising, the Saints being the league's best team or the Eagles falling apart? Cast your vote, WWL.com or the radio.com app. I'm Seth Dunlap. And